What's wrong with the world? That was the subject of a series of essays. The great London newspaper, The Times of London, in the years following World War I, they polled leading academics and scholars all the world over to write an essay on a subject that was on so many people's minds at that hour in history. What's wrong with the world? The most famous answer to that inquiry was only two words long. G.K. Chesterton, the great English author, he wrote in and said, "What's wrong with the world? I am." Sincerely, G.K. Chesterton. Now, if that's not clear, if that doesn't resonate with you, maybe I can help to explain just a little bit. You see, there's a funny phenomenon of human behavior, and I'm sure you've seen this too. Whereas the better a person is, the holier they are, the more Christ-like they are, the more they're aware of their own faults. And by contrast, the more dastardly somebody is, the more they think they're just wonderful and everybody in this world should be just like them. I think I mentioned this before. I talked to a Hollywood screenwriter once upon a time, and he told me that the key to writing a great movie script is creating a believable villain. And the key to creating a believable villain is to remember, every villain thinks he's a hero. Hermann Göring, the head of the Luftwaffe for Hitler's Third Reich, they say that one of the last things he said before he died was that 50 years from today, there will be monuments to my honor all across Germany. By contrast, when St. John Vianney, the patron saint of parish priests, was told that he had mere hours to live, he wept tears of repentance and said, "I go before my God with empty hands." Keep that contrast in mind now. As you think about our Lord's words from the gospel, you are the salt of the earth. In Jesus' time, salt had two purposes. It was a preservative, and it was a weapon of war. You know, if you caught a fish in the fresh waters of the Sea of Galilee, in the punishing sun of the Mediterranean, you know, the only way to keep it from going bad was to put it on salt. Salt was a preservative. But you know what? Salt was also a threat back then. When the Romans conquered their arch enemies, the Carthaginians, they salted the earth to make it infertile so that nothing would ever grow there again. It was a preservative and it was a threat. And when somebody's a genuine follower of Christ, those two qualities are seen in us as well. We become a preservative for all that is good in the world. We defend and protect all that is God. But you want to know what else we become? We become a threat to all that is not. You know, that's why Christianity in general and Catholicism in particular are singled out for special hatred all over the secular world. You know, if we just went along with their tune, they wouldn't bother us, but we don't. We're like an iron ball in the belly of the world that refuses to be digested. We're irritatingly salty. We're different. We afflict the comfortable and we comfort the afflicted. There are no other options. There's a constant pressure on us to want to fit in. We don't like the strain. We don't like being different. We don't like being the salt of the earth. Back in the Old Testament, that was their problem too. You know, the Israelites back in the Old Testament, they wanted so badly to fit in with all the other nations, to be just like all the Gentile nations all around them. And the prophets constantly hammered to the people, you've got to be different from all the other nations of the world. If you're the same as all the other peoples of the world, you're no good. To all the other peoples of the world. It's like that for us as Christians as well. If a Christian thinks like everybody else, speaks like everybody else, acts like everybody else, we are no good to everybody else. If we preserve nothing season nothing, and threaten nothing. We are good for nothing. Just like Jesus said, when salt has lost its savor, what's it good for? Be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And you know what's interesting about that? There's only one way for salt to lose its flavor. You have to water it down. A watered-down church that goes along with everything the world is going along with, it never threatens anybody's sin anywhere, is a church that's misleading many, many people, and many souls will be lost as a consequence. Now, here's my main point. It's easy to point the finger at somebody else. Easy. Anybody can do it. It's easy to say, what's wrong with the world? It's the bishops that are wrong with the world. It's the cardinals that are wrong with the world. It's the Pope. It's the media. It's the Congress. That's what's wrong with the world. And you want to know something? You might be absolutely right on that. However, on Judgment Day, you will answer for none of those people. The only question worth asking is this: am I salt that lost its flavor? Because if you are, not even God has a backup plan. He said, you're a light in the darkness, for goodness sakes. Be the light of the world. You know, when there's a blackout, what do? You reach for a light. I guess these days people reach for their cell phones or maybe a flashlight. Last resort, maybe a candle. But what if none of that works? What if what was supposed to light up the darkness does not work at all? Then you've really got a problem. And when this happens, you know what people do? They wave an accusing finger at God Almighty. And they say, God, the world is so messed up. Why don't you do something about it? And God answers back, that's what I put you in the world for. You tell me. The most important thing for us to remember is the importance of ongoing conversion. Because you want to know what? You're not going to be a saint tomorrow. And you're not going to be a saint the day after tomorrow. But there's one thing you can do. You can say to yourself, I am not going to surrender to sin. I am not going to say it's okay. I'm going to be a better Christian today than I was yesterday. And that conviction has power. God can work through that. And nothing can stop it. You go back to the ancient world. You look at mighty Caesar with all of his legions. Even mighty Caesar with all of his legions could not stop the power of the gospel. In the modern world, not the media, not the billions of dollars of the bankers, not the entertainment industry, not the corporations, nothing can stop the power of the gospel, except for one thing. Me. That's it. What's wrong with the world? My answer is that I'm not a saint yet. What's yours? Be a light in the darkness to the upright, like our psalm told us, that the world may see your good deeds and give glory to your heavenly Father. Amen.